Good morning, everybody. It's 9 a.m. I want to welcome you to the Florida Building Commission Structural Technical Advisory Committee meeting of September 25th, 2019. The first order of business is to ensure, well, to remind you of our teleconference process, which is please keep your phones on mute but not hold. Please be aware of background noises that you'll be making, especially if you're on a cell phone or if you have a speakerphone. It's going to project and it creates chaos in the meeting. Please say your name whenever you speak, and TAC members, if you make motions, please state your name for the first and second. But whenever anybody speaks, say their name for the record. And I think the main thing is wait till you're called upon to speak so we can maintain order. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and start the roll call. Commissioner Schock, Jim?
Yes, I'm here.
And I understand that Siavash Farvardhan is here for Warner Chang. Si, are you there?
Yes, good morning. This is Si. Hey, I'm here.
Great. Commissioner Compton?
Yes, I'm here.
And Si, did I butcher your name? Did I do decent?
No, you did fine. Just, you know, Si is good enough, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Jamie Gascon? Jamie? All right. Michael Garacio, Mike? Okay. Joe Hetzel, Joe?
Here.
Very good. I knew you were going to be there because you're always very reliable. Doe Kim, are you there?
I'm here.
Yay, Doe. Dan Laveridge, Dan?
Here, good morning.
Morning. And C.W. McComber?
Here.
McComber. Craig Perino?
Here.
Craig?
Here.
Steve Strawn. Steve? All right, well, we have 9 of 11, so we clearly have a quorum, but I'll just double check. Jamie Gascon? Mike Garacio? Steve Strawn? Okay, well, we have 9 people, so we have a quorum. We're ready to do business. Let's go ahead and introduce those of us here in Tallahassee.
Robert Lorenzo.
Chris Howell.
Tom Campbell.
Justin Vogel.
Mohamed Dhani.
Joe Piccolo.
And I'm Jeff Blair. And we want to welcome everybody. Jim, how do you want to handle this in terms of what you do and what I do?
Why don't you go ahead and run it. You know which way you want to go, so...
Okay, thanks. All right, so the first is the agenda. Today's agenda is pretty straightforward. To approve the minutes from the July 31st meeting and then to review the 3 research projects that we had, you know, discussed at a couple of different meetings, including the commission meeting, and to prioritize the 3 projects in a 1-2-3 order. What we'll do there is we'll kind of discuss, you know, what people's thinking is and see if there's a sense of the group in terms of what the prioritization would be. If there's not, I prepared a prioritization ranking exercise that we can do that will give us the priority based on how each person votes on each one. And that's that. Is there any questions? If not, is there a motion to approve the agenda as posted?
Laveridge and Compton.
Okay. We have Laveridge and Compton. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? Unanimous. Are there any corrections and or revisions to the posted July 31st, 2019 Structural TAC meeting minutes? If not, is there a motion to accept the minutes?
Laveridge move to accept as posted.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous.
Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Jeff, for the record, it looks like Steve Strong may
Oh, Steve. Okay, so Steve, did you actually vote on the agenda in the minutes?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. So that would be a 9.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Jamie. I'm also voting in favor. Just joined.
All right, so that does make 10 because there's one. I miscounted before. There's 10 members present now. The only one missing is Mike, so the vote is 10-0 on both. Okay, great, Jamie. Thanks. So the only person missing is Mike. Mike, are you on the phone too? Okay, so we have 10 present. So the next piece is our business for the day. It's to discuss the three remaining research projects and make recommendations to the commission on the priority of those, which will then go to our TAC chairs meeting prior to the commission meeting, which they'll review your recommendations and make the final recommendation back to the commission that same day at our October commission meeting. I'm going to turn it over to Mo. Mo?
Yeah. Good morning. This is Mo Medani. The main subject of this meeting is the ranking of these three research projects. As you recall, last June you met and Dr. Bravat presented to you a list of research projects for your consideration. And at that time, you have mainly approved the list and we forwarded the list to the commission for consideration. At the August commission meeting, the commission has approved some of the research project that you forwarded to, which is the Code Plus project or the enhancement of the code provisions. We also another project was the a geographic information system, GIS, for mapping, and also they approved the code review of the integrated draft for the 7th edition. There seems like mainly three major projects that we felt like in order to mainly provide the commission with more information about, you know, your standing and your ranking and so on of this project. So we felt that we come back to you to rank these remaining three research projects, which I see on the list, the siding one, the wind-driven rain test, and Hurricane Michael data enhancement. As Jeff said, from your ranking, then we will provide the information to the chairperson advisory group, who will meet the morning of the commission meeting on the 15th, which ultimately will provide the commission with recommendation for consideration on this research project. At this meeting. As I said, it's mainly the ranking. We don't feel that there is a need to go through the specific on these projects, since it was done in June. And with us online, Dr. David Bravat, to answer any questions with regard to these proposals and so on. So thank you.
Thank you, Mo. So again, it's not about rescoping the project. It's just about deciding the priority 1, 2, 3. All right, so TAC members, let's start the discussion in terms of your thinking on what would make the most sense in terms of prioritization. Mo, if I'm not mistaken, the vinyl siding project is like a second phase for project the commission's already invested in?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's, just so everybody knows that, that's a project that has been invested in, and this is the next piece of that. Okay, so go ahead, TAC members. Who would like to start the conversation? Give me your name.
Jim Schock here. I'll go ahead and start so we can
get
something on the floor here.
Very good. Go ahead.
I'll go through the priority that I think is good.
Okay.
The first one would be, number one, would be the evaluation of the vinyl siding system equal pressurization factor, because it is an ongoing project. Try to bring that to a conclusion. Item number two, to me, I would ask a question, I guess. For number three, where it talks about performance of modular houses for review from the wind requirements and things like that, are we talking about manufactured buildings or manufactured homes? I think it's a good project because we have so many manufactured homes in the area. Manufactured buildings, I don't think we need to do a lot with, because they're built, of course, with the Florida Building Code already. Where manufactured homes are built in accordance with HUD standards, and because they're HUD standards, I'm not sure whether we should be doing it or not.
Okay.
It sounds like it should be a HUD project. And then, of course, the other one, Wind, Driven, Rain, I think that's a good one, too. We had a lot of water intrusion in Mexico Beach. But I'm worried about how we do the project, because, you know, we've done a lot of window testing and other rain infiltration testing at the University of Florida several years ago. And I think a lot of those problems that we're seeing now are possibly poor installation. So you have to go in and take things apart and get permissions and stuff like that, which I think would be difficult. But so I guess my ranking would be 1, 3, and 2.
Okay. Well, why don't we ask Dave one second, Dan. I'll get you in a second. What I'd like to do is just go ahead and get Jim's questions answered, and then we'll go to you as the second person in the queue. So David, Jim's asking about the sort of scope for the modular home project in terms of what that actually covers, and then also how would number two be done in the context of, but you know, from his perspective, some of it may be installation, and we have already done a lot of research on wind-driven rain testing.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. This is David Privat at the University of Florida. In particular, the modular home section of this was focused on single-family homes that fall within the jurisdiction of the Florida Building Commission. So we're not looking to identify HUD-related or other manufactured buildings per se.
All right.
Regarding the wind-driven rain consideration, the question, I think I'm losing track of what the specific question was. Jeff, if you could help me.
Sure. So the specific question was he wanted to know how would we actually conduct that test, given that we've done quite a bit of wind-driven rain testing already. But secondly, I think, is the fact that, if installation is the problem, then that's not going to be something that we can really do without getting into the buildings and getting people's permissions to sort of, you know, forensically dismantle them to see where the installation errors occurred. Is that a fair statement, Jim?
Yeah, that, you got it right, Jeff. That's exactly the issue.
Yep.
And I see.
Yep. So thank you, Jim and Jeff. I think from my perspective, this is a large problem and something that would need to be handled in stages. The approach that I had provided was we work with a professional engineer who is familiar with high-rise building structures, curtain wall design, to develop a scope that would enable a curtain wall to be tested, including fenestration as well as the cladding systems. And that, I suspect, is more than a year of work just to get the pieces in place and, as you say, to line up prospective homeowner, condominium or building owners who would agree to do this. But I think there is a lot that one can do in this area just by clarifying a lot of the issues. I think, as we had in some of the earlier meetings, the issues is not just, it's only installation, and it's not just windows.
Okay, thank you. So Jim's order is project number one, project number three, and project number two. All right, Dan, go ahead.
Okay, with all due respect to Jim, I don't agree that the major problem is the installation. Jim, I don't believe Jim's seen the number of windows that I have and the installations. And is there somebody making a comment?
No, Dan, I think that was some background noise that's being projected through someone's speakerphone, so.
Okay, very good. Anyway, it's not just an installation problem, and we need to break this down into several different areas. As we know, there's the windows themselves, the installation, and the design of the envelope, and so forth. But starting with the windows, I saw where the windows themselves had leaked. Let's start with the very basic premise of the building code that only requires that windows be tested to 15 to 20% of their design pressures for water intrusion. Well, if you start off with that as the initial premise, anybody should be able to understand that it's not only likely, but it's a given fact that the windows are going to leak during a storm that is going to project wind pressures higher than 15 to 20%, and you're going to get leaking. So the question becomes, do we want to accept that as being acceptable? Or not? I think that's one question. Probably the first question is where did this 15 to 20% come from to begin with? Who pulled this thing out of the air? Nobody seems to have an answer for that. There doesn't seem to be any scientific basis for that. And David wrote up a really, really good description of this design, of this research project. And if you read through it, he goes through all of these issues in great detail. And he was very articulate in what he did, and I have to give him great credit for producing a really outstanding report to clearly identify the issues that are at hand. Now, the issues of installation are certainly a problem, and the actual design of the envelope are a problem, but we have direct control over the actual design and testing of the window fenestration assemblies themselves. I don't think that the code, the way it exists, is sufficient enough to prevent the water intrusion from taking place through these fenestrations at somewhat minimal pressures and rainfall. If we're only testing them to 15 to 20%, you know, we're kind of dead before we start. So I think it's an extremely important issue. The amount of water intrusion I personally witnessed and I'm aware of from other people that have reported these issues, it's tremendous. It's not as graphic as what you had in Mexico Beach or what we may have had in the Abaco Islands and so forth because buildings weren't falling over. That's true. But when you talk to the people that live in these apartments that had this water intrusion, they were not happy people. They had windows and doors that had been recently installed according to what they said was hurricane standards, and of course that's what's been advertised because they were, according to the Florida Building Code, that required them to be hurricane-resistant, so to say, assemblies, and indeed they were for structure, but indeed they were not for water intrusion. So is that acceptable? I think it's acceptable, and the people that I talked to didn't think it was acceptable.
I
think number two is an extremely important issue.
All right, so let's go ahead and we're not going to re-debate this project or any of the projects because we've done that twice already. What we agreed to do today, and it's fine that Dan's making, you know, sort of advocating for what he think would be his number one priority, but we don't need to get into discussion about the pros and cons of these because we've done that already twice. So what I'd like to do is get Dan for you to give us your order now. What would you pick as your number one and number two and three project?
I would pick number two is the number one project.
Okay.
Number three is the number two project.
Okay.
And number one is the number three project.
Okay, good. Okay, so it's fine to speak a little bit about projects, you know, that you favor, like we have, and that's great. But we're not going to actually go into debating the scoping or the merits of these projects on that level back and forth because we've done that. We've had, you know, work group meetings and also TAC meetings. So who's the next person that would like to talk about what they think the three priorities are in order?
Yes, this is Steve. I'd like to weigh in if I may.
Absolutely, Steve. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I happen to agree with the chairman in the order of ranking one, three, and two in that priority order. It's my feeling as I've read through this scope of work for the project number two that it is incomplete. No offense to anyone in terms of the preparation, but it is, it has a lot of issues, and frankly, in terms of the primary objective, if you look at it, it's water intrusion through the building envelope systems. It's not just through, as my friend Mr. Laverich suggests, through the fenestration products itself. It's,
you put words in my mouth. That's not what I said, Steve.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
That's how I understood it.
That wasn't my statement, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
We have virtually nothing in here looking at the components of Chapter 15 of the code, which is roofing. It's my feeling that the research project is absolutely important, but it's incomplete in terms of its readiness for funding.
Okay. All right. So we have another 132. Who would like to go next in terms of providing their ranking?
I'll do.
All right, Commissioner Dave, go ahead.
Mine's real straightforward. 213.
Number two, number one, number three. Okay, very good. One second. Would somebody mind tallying these? Because it's hard for me to pay attention. I'm keeping track of what they're voting for, but to actually tally what the 1, 2, 3 would end up being.
Yeah, well, I'm
not. All right, good. Okay, thanks, Dave. Very crisp. Next. Jamie,
how about Kim?
Okay, Doe, go ahead.
I'll do 213.
Okay. Very good. Right. So okay. Dan and Dave and Doe had that. Okay. Jamie, how about you?
I'll be supportive of 213.
Okay. And then, Cy, how about you?
Yeah, I'll go with the 213.
All right. And Joe?
Okay, I'm going to go with 213 for this reason.
Okay.
That I'm looking at this in terms of what the ultimate deliverable is going to be in terms of product approval and Florida Building Code.
Okay.
That's my reasoning.
Very good. CW.
I'd go 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. Okay. And Craig?
I'm going to go with 1, 2, 3.
All right. I think that's everybody, right? Yep, that's all. That's everybody. What are you getting, Mo?
Yeah.
All right, so. I think it's.
Number one will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Number two will be number one. You have 6.
Number two is number one, right?
And number, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3. I would say number one will be number two.
Okay.
And then.
Okay, so it turns out the order is 1, 2, 3. Which.
No, that's
2, 1, 3.
I'm sorry, I read it wrong. 2, 1, 3. Apologies. Number two was number one, so it's 2, 1, 3. Yeah, I just read it wrong. Which is, you know, what we pretty obvious when you look at the tally. So number two is ranked as number one. Number one is number two, and number three is number three. And that's the recommendation that will be made to the tax and then the commission. So are there any other comments or thoughts about that?
This is Matt Dobson with the Vinyl Siding Institute. I'm not sure when to.
Yeah, I was going to
chime in, but I'd like a chance to speak.
Yeah, I was going to do public comment in just a second. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, go ahead. You're ready. We're ready for you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm sorry we're a little late to the table here on commenting on the study that's being proposed, number one. My name is Matt Dobson. Again, I'm with the Vinyl Siding Institute. I represent the manufacturers of vinyl siding in North America. There's, we feel, and I sent an email with some attachments to Mo and Dr. Previtt and Joe Bigelow this morning that may be helpful, at least moving forward. We understand this group has already looked at these studies over the past couple months, I guess. Our industry really does not feel that this study being proposed to look at the pressure equalization factor for vinyl siding will help to change anything in the field. We have studied the hurricanes over the last few years and our product performance, and really we feel like improvements need to be made where there has been failure relative to product installation. In our view, when the product is designed properly through the ASTM standard and is installed properly, it does perform as designed. We don't think that there is an issue with the PEF. We have been working closely with IBHS and FEMA over the past 5 years to improve the code with a strong focus on installation requirements for both soffit and siding. Almost all observed failures recently have been related to installation. There's no clear field evidence that was provided in the report that PEF is a factor. There's no evidence of this. And to study it, I don't think, will do us any good. Even if there is something discovered, which we don't think there would be anything significant that is, we still feel like installation is the most important issue. We just changed the PEF. In fact, as a technical group, you all just adopted the 17th edition of the vinyl siding ASTM standard, which just did change the PEF and increased it, so we have taken steps in that recently. But when we went through the published report from Dr. Previtt in June, we didn't see any evidence that there was an issue with PEF at all. And I referenced, there's a number of items I referenced on my email that you'll see, and I won't go through them, but you can look at them. Even, even the reference to fiber cement siding is an installation issue. We feel like everything in that report has to do with installation, so we do as an industry feel that we need to keep doing things more proactively. We're taking steps by doing outreach, providing additional resources. We recently published a coastal specification guide, which highlights some of the important installation requirements for the product category. We've done a lot of work on soffit, which we think soffit, really specifically, if you look at the code, fascia is not even mentioned in the code. And fascia is an area, if the fascia fails, then it begins to fail the soffit system. So that's an area that really requires more study from our opinion. But just in short, we don't think this study is necessary. We think it's not a good use of resources. We think regardless of what the results of the study may be, installation is still the key issue. And we're taking steps as an industry to address this. Our products have done very well in the last few storms. But where there has been failure, like I said, it's installation. In fact, starting in January 1, all of our products will have their design pressure rating printed on the box. That was come to agreement that we would do that with IBHS over the last 5 years. So we would ask the committee to really hesitate a little bit on this study. We don't think it's going to do much good. We feel like the PEF is adequate. There's no evidence to show it's not. And regardless of what comes out of the study, if the installation is done correct, it doesn't matter what the PEF of the product is. It's not going to perform. So installation is really where we think we should be focused, and that's where we're focused as an industry. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak, and I'm happy to answer any questions. And I know Mo said he would forward you out my email to give you, so you can look at a little bit more detail as to what we're planning and what our thoughts are. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else in the public wish to comment?
If there is an opportunity, this is David Previtt at University of Florida. I can respond to Matt's comments.
Sure.
Can you share the screen? Jeff, is it possible I can get access to the screen, please?
Yep. Just gets 1 second.
Well, while we're doing that, is there any other public comment? Anybody else besides David? Okay.
Yeah, this is Brad Feeble, Marvin.
All right, go ahead, Brad.
Well, thanks for letting me speak. I just want to comment on a couple of things. Obviously, I was a little bit disappointed when Lavage had gotten up and spoken, basically through the fenestration and string of the bus a little bit there, but nobody else could respond to that. But essentially, I agree with what Mr. Strawn had already commented on in terms of the project is still needing a lot of revision in terms of scope. And I do recall that Dr. Savitt had also commented that it's likely you need to be multiple stages, and I agree with that. So I think that as long as the fenestration industry is able to get into the project and help with the development of that scope, I think we can have a successful project. And I think that's what we're all looking for, is to help make sure that the industry, as well as the homeowners and the building owners, are protected. So,
okay.
Again, I don't think it's quite ready for approval yet in terms of the overall scope of the project.
Right, and I just want to remind everybody that the agreement the commission made was that Mo would work with the PI, David, and based on the comments that they heard from the public and the commission to scope the project, and I think you'll find David to be amenable to that. Dave, I'm going to let others talk, because you can respond to both of these comments at the end, or others, in case there's multiple ones that you need to respond to, because I think you can respond to the first one comment and the second one. Go ahead. Any other public comment before David kind of responds to what we heard? Okay, go ahead, David. You've got two different ones who've spoken. I think you can probably address both of those.
Okay. I am having some difficulty with the clarity of the screen, so I'm going to stop showing the screen, and if you could send me that screen again. Can you, there you go, and if you could send the screen back to me.
Okay,
let's see if this one works a little bit better. Okay, so it's a little bit fuzzy, but there's just three or four slides here. Good morning, everyone. I wanted to just clarify a couple things regarding the, firstly, the vinyl siding issue project. This is a second year of a two-year project. We have built the infrastructure, and the next step is to continue with the testing. This business about the PEF, the pressure equalization factor value, is not unique to the vinyl siding industry. It involves several major universities and institutions who have conducted testing, field work, analytical work in order to come up with this. The University of Western Ontario in Canada has been led by Dr. Greg Kopp, who used a Three Little Pigs, and his comment to me, Matt, sure, I have your permission to send on your email, and he said that pressure equalization factor data from his lab line up quite well with the IBHS full-scale measurements of this issue. In addition, IBHS, led by Dr. Ann Cope and Dr. Murray Morrison at Chester, South Carolina, they have conducted full-scale testing, several of these at their lab, which have identified pressure equalization values at the peak loading in the range of 0.75 to 0.8. This is far above, almost twice as high as a 0.36 that was initially obtained with a single chamber testing. What has come out from both UWO and IBHS is that it is impossible to get the correct pressure equalization factors using a single chamber. The ratio of the gap sizes and the spacing between the underside of the panel and the sheathing
this is something that has to be matched to the full scale. We at the University of Florida, we have also conducted testing on different materials, the discontinuous metal roofing system industry. They also have this situation. Going forward, ladies and gentlemen, the pressure equalization factor will be done with a multi-chamber experimental base. It is no longer physically possible based upon the volume of information we have from this to do it the old way. FIU, Florida International University in Miami, led by Dr. Peter Irwin of the RWDI, also did experimental work on vinyl siding. And this work is well established, and here we have this graph is almost unreadable, unfortunately, but I had published five papers that these individuals and groups have published on the data showing that the PEF values need to be addressed with a multi-chamber situation. We are not in the position here, Madam, of going straight to the ASTM. We are trying to develop a system similar to what Dr. Kopp has done at UWO so that we have a multi-chamber pressure system for testing almost any system that requires PEF values. Regarding the full-scale data that we had, I wanted to point out that we have provided almost 102 data points from two hurricanes, Hurricane Irma 2017 and Hurricane Michael 2018. And again, I will send all of these to you by email tomorrow so that you have this information close at hand. Table 3 and Table 4 in my report indicates what is the relationship between the estimated peak 1 minute wind speeds at the houses that we found versus what the design loads were. In Hurricane Irma, we were between 50% and 80% of design loads. In Hurricane, that's in Hurricane Michael, we were in 0.7 to 1.4 times those design loads. So you can see that information, and we still have had, in this chart, you would see the comparison between the failures that we had from Hurricane Michael versus Hurricane Irma. Okay? So all this to be said is that we have experimental, analytical, and lab work supporting the PEF values needing to be done on a system like we proposed that you have supported for the first year. We have field data showing that there are several vinyl siding failures that occur at between 50% and 80% of the design loads. And therefore, it is prudent that we do not wait until we have a design event in the South Florida at 200 miles per hour to begin the effort of changing the approach. Regarding the water intrusion issues at Marvin, you know, to be honest, this is almost the same type of approach that the University of Florida is not in the business of stifling any commercial activity. We are in the business of securing the common good and making sure that the Florida houses are performing. As we have produced this water intrusion project, it has stimulated many in the fenestration industry to look again at the design loads and so on and so forth. Many of these projects will not come to light because they're within those companies, but
work is continuing to understand what happens at the design load for a hurricane. If we continue to just assume that we have a 20% performance basis without telling the general population what that means in terms of an actual hurricane, I think we're not doing ourselves or the general public a good service. People ought to be aware of what they should expect when 180 mile per hour wind occurs. We know this is going to occur at some point in our futures, and again, what we do today is to preserve and protect a community in the next 40 years. We're not working simply for, you know, the next 2 or 3 years. Whatever standards we set now will be placed on the ground, and it will be there to last for a long time. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Is there any additional public comment then? All right.
This is Matt Dobson again with the Vinyl Siding. So I just want to, I appreciate Dr. Previtt's presentation. You know, we're happy to work with him, you know, on looking at an approved test method. But what I didn't hear is, and what I didn't see, but I did hear you say in the report, is that there were some examples of failure of products relative to their design rating, and I did not see that in the report. So I'll follow up with you offline, and we'll look forward to working with you on this if it moves forward. That is, but again, you know, as an industry, we as well want to preserve homes and protect homes, and you know, our industry has product that has great warranties and has been in the marketplace for 60 years, and our intent is to provide durable, resilient products. And we think we can continue to do that very well as we've done in the past, but improve that by focusing on installation issues. It doesn't matter what test methods you come out with. If the installations are still done improperly, it doesn't matter. So that's where the focus needs to be, in my opinion, in the immediate future. And we look forward to working with Dr. Previtt moving forward on this other test method to make sure that if it goes forward. So anyway, thank you.
Jeff, this is Dick Wallow.
Go ahead, Dick.
On behalf of AMA and the Fenestration Manufacturers Association, I have to simply like to be on record for this industry that we don't agree that number two's ready for prime time as scoped at this time, and that we agree with the vinyl siding folks that installation is the problem. And that's just for the record. Thank you very much.
All right. Okay. Back to the TAC. Any final comments before we adjourn? All right. Jim, do you want to adjourn us? Oh, wait, I got to do a roll call.
Yeah. I just want to thank everybody for their participation. I appreciate it all. And
hey, Jim. Jim, I need to do a second roll call. Sorry.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
All right, Commissioner Schock.
Here.
Cy.
Here.
Commissioner Compton.
Here.
Jamie Gascon. Jamie.
Here.
Mike. Joe.
Here.
Doe.
Here. Yeah. Here.
Dan.
Here.
CW.
Here.
Craig.
Here.
And Steve.
I'm here.
Very good. We have the same 10 of 11. All right, Jim, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just thank everybody for participating and providing input into the meeting. And with there being no further business, we can stand adjourned.
Thank you guys.
So what?